If a devotee thinks that he is very much advanced in devotional service, he is considered puffed up and unfit to sit beneath the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Again, this instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is applicable. Trinadapi suniche na tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Unless one is humble and meek, one cannot qualify to sit at the lotus feet of the Lord. How are you, Prabhu? How are you? Are you coming or going somewhere? You coming from somewhere or are you going somewhere? Both. Oh. That's a good answer. We're all doing that. We're all coming from somewhere and we're all going somewhere. So if we want to go to the lotus feet of the Lord, here's the formula. We're not coming from there right now, but we are hopefully intending to go there. Or actually to be there constantly. One's physical condition, the physical situation in which we are situated is actually irrelevant in terms of where we are devotionally. We may be in the humblest of situations materially, but we actually may be situated at the lotus feet of the Lord. This society, as we always say, this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Consciousness is a condition of the self that is actually not dependent upon any material circumstance. Our material condition has come about as a result of our contact with the three modes of material nature. Under the influence of the three modes of material nature, we think ourselves to be this body. We think ourselves to be a product of matter. And that impression runs very deeply into the consciousness. The influence of the three modes of material nature, as Krishna says, are very, very difficult to overcome. And once we are under the influence of the three modes of material nature, Maya has two potencies, two particular potencies, one called Avaranatmika and the other called Prapchakatmika. With Prapchakatmika, she covers us over and makes us forgetful of ourselves. And then the influence of the three modes of material nature comes in. And then Avaranatmika, she throws us anywhere and everywhere within the material universe. We have been in the material world since time immemorial. That statement itself really, really deserves a lot of contemplation. We have been in the material world since time immemorial, under the influence of the three modes of material nature. Fundamentally under the influence of tamaguna, because out of the tamaguna comes the false ego, and the first covering of the soul is the false ego. And then under the influence of the false ego, as the verse says, prakriti kriyamanani gunai kamani savasaha ahankara vimudatma kataham iti manyate. The bewildered living entity, first bewildered, how? Ahankara. Bewildered by ahankara, the living entity under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are actually being carried out by nature. And we have been in this situation since time immemorial. Since time immemorial. Srila Prabhupada in one lecture is talking about how sanskrita, miseries, are coming upon the living entity one after another, one after another, one after another in the material world. And then he says, this has been going on since the beginning of creation. And then he says, what to speak of this creation? We have been in this material world for billions of creations. $311,040,000,000 Srila Prabhupada explains in Bhagavad Gita that this is the duration of this universe in which we are now situated. 311 trillion and 40 million years. An inconceivable amount of time just for one universe. And we have been in this material world since time immemorial. And now here we are, now, in the human form of life. The difference between the human form of life and all other forms of life in this material world, Srila Prabhupada explains, is that the human form of life has a pinch of liberation. There is a pinch of liberation. And that liberated condition is that we are able to be conscious of our consciousness. No other species of life, save and except the human species, has this potency. To be conscious of one's consciousness means one is able to contemplate one's situation. One is able to reflect upon one's condition. One is able to actually stand outside of one's situation and look at it objectively and make an assessment of it and compare it to the situation of somebody else. That kind of discrimination is not there under a more potent mix of the modes of material nature that affects animals. It's like where I'm living right now. You can look out the window and there's a field. And early in the morning there's rabbits running around. There's horses. There's an old tomcat comes out from the cottage next door to try and catch a rabbit. There's magpies pecking around in the horse stall looking for little bugs. There's doves and pigeons flying. And it's all going on. And there's trees and there's grass. And these creatures are completely under the influence of a particular combination of the modes of material nature. They're not reflecting upon their situation. The rabbit's not looking across at the horses and thinking, that's a horse, and I'm a rabbit. He's just thinking, where's my breakfast? And he's eating grass. And then when the tomcat comes and he's in danger, he runs away down his burrow. Then after a while, he sticks his head out again, looking around. Oh, the tomcat's gone. Where's breakfast? The ability to reflect upon one's situation, the ability to become conscious of one's consciousness. If you're falling asleep in class, either you can stand up or you can get some water and have a drink. And there's nothing wrong with waking the person next to you up. Srimad Bhagavatam class is not for sleeping. If you need to sleep, you go and sleep. So the qualities that we are affected by, that carry us into lower species of life, into higher species of life, and all over the universe, are lust, greed, anger, pride, envy, and illusion. All living entities in the material world are under the influence of these qualities that arise from contact, first of all, with the mode of passion. And the root of the situation is material desire, the desire to enjoy life in the material world. One time when Srila Prabhupada was here at the manor, a reporter came to interview him, and he asked Srila Prabhupada, "What's the purpose of life?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "The purpose of life is to enjoy. The purpose of life is to enjoy. But we don't know what is the standard of activity that gives real enjoyment." Under the influence of the three modes of material nature, under the influence of Maya, we are tempted by all kinds of material allurements. And we think that all kinds of material situations will bring us the happiness, the enjoyment that we're searching for. That contact of the material senses with the objects of the material senses will bring us enjoyment. But we need to understand that this is an illusion, that this is not true, that this is a falsehood. We need to come to that understanding. Abrahma bhuvano laka loka punarvava tinojuna mamu pechetu kunteya punajamana vijite. That from the highest planet to the lowest planet in this material world, all are places of misery in which the repetition of birth, death, disease, and old age are taking place. But for one who attains to my abode, there is no more birth, death, disease, and old age. There is no more changing of bodies. There is no more misery. Just in the spiritual world, you have one body. In the material world, you have countless bodies. And in every body, every single body, from the moment of birth until the moment of death, we're trying to enjoy the senses, whatever configuration those senses may be in. Because the propensity to enjoy is fundamental. We don't come to the material world because we want to enjoy. We come to the material world because we want to enjoy materially. But the desire to enjoy is innate. We are meant to enjoy. We are meant for pleasure. We are part and parcel of Krishna. Anandamaya Vyasat. Krishna is the personification of bliss. And we are part and parcel of Krishna. So there's nothing wrong with the desire to enjoy. There's nothing wrong with it. However, when we misuse our independence and give up our position of subservience to Krishna and try to make ourselves the center of the universe, the center of all creation, then we've made a very serious mistake. We made a very serious mistake. Because the result is we come into the clutches of Maya, and Maya's only business is to kick us, to cause us suffering within the confinement of the material world. So that eventually eventually, because we have the ability to be conscious of our consciousness, we might begin to reflect on the situation a little and say, I'm struggling so hard to enjoy myself here, and everything I think that will bring the enjoyment that I want is either always a little bit out of my reach, or when I get it, it's not what I thought it was. But Maya is so ruthless and so relentless that even we barely get a nanosecond to reflect like that, and the next temptation is there. And we get caught in the loop again. And we go running all around the loop again. Where to? To the point where Maya gives us a very strong kick in the face. But we are very, not only have we been in this material world for a very long time, we have been in this world because we have desire to enjoy materially, and because we have very deep affection for the material world, attachment for the material world. Everything is so mixed up that we cannot discern, really, we cannot discern matter from spirit anymore. Very interesting that the first purpose of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is to establish a program to teach people to make a discernment between what is matter and what is spirit, and to understand themselves to be spirit. Prabhupada doesn't even mention Krishna in the first purpose of ISKCON. He doesn't even mention Krishna. And that's quite fitting, actually, because in the first section of Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna begins to instruct Arjuna, he doesn't explain to Arjuna any more about himself than you and I have always existed. Krishna doesn't get into talking about himself in any personal detail. He begins in the fourth chapter, and he really takes it up in the seventh chapter, eighth chapter, ninth chapter, tenth chapter, 11th chapter, 12th chapter. But he's talking philosophically about the Supreme, and that we are all part and parcel of the Supreme. His first concern is to bring Arjuna out of his bodily conscious illusion. Bring him to the spiritual platform. This is what the human form of life is meant for. So just imagine our good fortune. In terms of this purport, in terms of what is being said here, in terms of Trinada Pisunichina Tarura Pisa Hishnuna Amanina Amanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, in terms of this, we need to contemplate our good fortune. Here we are in the human form of life now, here, sitting on the floor of the temple room of Bhaktivedanta Manor, listening to the philosophy of the absolute truth. What are the odds of that situation arising in your sojourn through the material world? 8,400,000 species of life. Entanglement in the three modes of material nature since time immemorial. Total forgetfulness of our basic identity, what to speak of our individual personal identity. Karma can be such that you might not even get out of the insect species for 20 or 30 creations. Oh, we think, 8,400,000 species of life. Yes, 8,400,000 species of life. And you might have to take birth as a staphylococcus for an unlimited, inconceivable number of times. You know, where does the mind boggle? What do we do? What do we do? Hundreds, thousands, millions, billions, trillions, quadrillions. What's next? What's after quadrillions? Well, maybe. How many zeros can you put after one? What to speak of how many times you can click over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's inconceivable. One has to understand. And did I figure it out that, oh yeah, I'm walking around some patch of ground in my hometown and I think, yeah, what I really need to do is I need to go down to Bhaktivedanta Manor. You don't even know Bhaktivedanta Manor exists. So this is the type of contemplation we need to cultivate in order to actually bring some humility into our minds and hearts. To contemplate one's helplessness at the hands of the material energy is a very important thing to do. Because one has to understand, so long as one maintains any desire to enjoy materially, Maya has a hook on you. And she'll give you a lot of rope, but eventually you'll come to the end of that rope. And you'll be facing a reality that you may try to deny for so long that, oh, actually, yes, I do want to enjoy life in the material world. I don't really want to get out of this place. And in such a state of mind, one becomes puffed up under the influence of Maya. One thinks oneself to be the doer. But we are not the doers of anything. If we study Bhagavad Gita very closely, and Krishna says, if you study this divine conversation, then you will be worshipping me with your intelligence. And by using your intelligence, you can understand that Arjuna is in a position of making a choice. And Krishna makes it very clear, you can be but an instrument, Arjuna. An instrument. Instruments are used by people. Instruments don't do the job. People do the job using instruments. So Krishna's going to do the job using Arjuna if Arjuna chooses to put himself in that position. And Krishna never interferes with you or I executing or exercising our free will. But our free will is not to act, our free will is to choose. And then having made the choice, take the ride. Take the ride. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesha juna tishtati. Brahmayan sarva rudrani yantra. Brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudrani mayaya. I am situated within the heart of every living entity, and I am directing their wandering. Every living entity is situated in this body as one situated on a machine. And you're not even the driver. You're the passenger. Krishna's directing the whole show. Always has been, always will be. Maya jakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetu nanina kuntaya jagat viparivatate. Even Maya is an instrument of Krishna. The doer of everything is Krishna. And we become puffed up when we think, I'm the doer. Look what I've done. Look what I've achieved. But as they say, pride cometh before the fall. Pride cometh before the fall. So gratitude. Gratitude for the knowledge that one has. Gratitude for the enlightenment that has come into one's life is an essential ingredient in the character of a devotee. And actually our life is all about character, cultivating the correct character. This Trinada Pisa Nichina Tarora Pisa Hishnana Amanina Amanadina. This is a statement of character. Character arises from right practice. Good character arises from right practice. And the first principle of the development of good character for a devotee is gratitude for the wholesome condition that he finds himself in. You can take some credit for the fact that you chose this life when it was presented to you. But it was presented by the causeless mercy of the Lord. It didn't automatically arise in your life as an option due to your karma. We are all here by the causeless mercy of the Lord. Jai. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Ananda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gonitai Ki Jai. Coming to the material world means forgetfulness of Krishna. But Krishna's not resentful towards us because we left the spiritual world, because we left his association. He's not envious of anyone, he says. I'm not envious of anyone. Resentment is a symptom of envy. But Krishna's not resentful. When I joined the Hare Krishnas, my father cut me out of the will. He resented the fact that I gave up doing what I was doing because it reflected badly upon him in the eyes of his friends and his relatives. We all left Krishna's association. But what did Krishna do? He expanded himself into the heart of every one of us and has been our companion since the moment we entered the material world. Why? Why does he do that? Why does he come and speak Bhagavad Gita? Why does he send his pure devotee into the material world to establish such a thing as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness? To establish beautiful temples like this? Why does he manifest himself to us in a form that we can see? Why does he do that? Because he loves us. And because he never gives up on us. Why? Because he loves us. Why does he love us? Because he loves us. It's causeless. We are beyond cause and effect here. Because the fundamental reality of life is to be lost in love. That's a line out of a Beatles song. One day when we're dreaming, lost in love, not a lot to say. Everybody's looking for it. When we're lost in love. That's the real standard of life. That is our life. That is our real life. And Krishna knows that. Krishna knows all about the influence of Maya. But Krishna never comes under the influence of Maya. Tribir gunamaya bhavaya abhisavamidang jagat. Mohitam nabijanati mamebhya paramavyaya. This whole world is bewildered by the influence of these material modes. The whole world, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, bewildered by the modes of material nature, does not know me. Who am above the modes and inexhaustible. So it is because he loves us that out of his causeless mercy, he makes this knowledge available. Nobody figures it out for themselves. Nobody in the history of the world has ever been able to figure out that God is a beautiful little bluish-hued boy who plays a flute and tends cows in Goloka Vrindavan. Nobody figures that out. Nobody looks down a microscope and sees that. Nobody sends the Hubble telescope up into outer space and sees that. Nobody reads books of speculative philosophy and comes to that conclusion. That is revealed. That is revealed. So this is a very important revelation about how we should shape our character, based upon gratitude for the wholesome condition that we have, for the enjoyment that we have from this life. For the pleasure that we experience by engaging in this devotional activity. Fundamentally, everyone, aside from whether you can come to this temple, live in a temple, or whatever, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it so simple. You just chant the holy name. And that is what is Kirtaniya Sadahari. That is what comes eventually. Chanting constantly. Why? Because you become lost in love. Because all the lust, all the anger, all the greed, all the envy, all the resentment, all the pride, all the illusion will vanish from within the heart. It all depends on what we want. It all depends on how much we want it. And that's why we have the ability to be conscious of our consciousness so we can make choices in this lifetime. Beyond, where is food? Where do I sleep? Who do I have sex with? How do I defend this situation so I can go on eating, sleeping, and having sex? And passing stool. One time on a morning walk, that Srila Prabhupada came to a tree where there were a lot of birds, and there was a lot of bird stool all on the ground here, and he points to it and he says, "What's this mean?" And all kinds of answers came, and he flicked them away until finally he said, "This means attachment. What is the result of our attachment to the material world? A big pile of stool." Prabhupada was an acharya, uncompromising when it came to the matter of stating what is the truth. So unless one is humble and meek, one cannot qualify to sit at the lotus feet of the Lord. That humility is actually, we think, oh, how do you be humble? How do you be humble? How do I become more humble? Well, just think of your situation. If you were a gambling person and you estimated, what are the odds in terms of how long you've been in the material world, which is inconceivable, of you being in the situation you're in now. What are the odds of that happening? Would you bet on it? As they say, would you bet the house on that? Nobody in their right mind with correct understanding would take a wager that, yeah, this could happen. Because once we're in the material world, you don't get out. You cannot get out. Devi yesha gunamayim ama maya duratyaya. You cannot get out of the material world. Once you're in, you can't get out. Mama vaya prapadyante, tongues to tai pajamya. What is it? Mayami tongue tarantite. If you surrender to Krishna, then you can get out. But you don't know Krishna. Unless Krishna reveals himself to you and tells you that. These are the ingredients that we mix together to cultivate a humble state of mind. But we forget. We forget because our condition is to forget. And just because we've been woken up doesn't mean we can't roll back and go to sleep again. Doesn't mean Maya can't entice us to do that. So there's a good degree of meekness needed here as well. Meekness means totally dependent, unaggressive about things. Fully aware that I'm in a lot of danger here in this material world. I'm in big trouble. Big trouble. I can't, of my own volition, get out of this situation. Unless and until I make a choice to surrender to Krishna. And that, as one becomes more experienced in the practice of Krishna consciousness, after one crashes and burns a few times, after one gets puffed up a few times and gets dragged down a few times, one begins to realize that choice is a moment-by-moment choice. Because the moment you don't choose Krishna, you choose Maya. Only takes a moment. Only takes a moment. It only took a moment to turn away in the first place. And that was an inconceivable amount of time ago. So this forgetfulness that we are trapped in, or can again become totally entrapped in, is there as our constant companion while we remain within the material world. Srila Prabhupada, in Nectar of Devotion, makes the point that while one has a material body, he should conduct himself like a neophyte. Should conduct oneself. One should not think, I'm becoming advanced. I'm an advanced devotee now. I've got a position in ISKCON. I can lord it over people. You've lost the plot as soon as you start thinking like that. And it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. And you'll fall down. You'll fall down from your wholesome position. But Krishna's not resentful. Krishna's not envious. Every time you come to see Krishna, he's smiling. He's glad to see you. Yes? And we understand. Prabhupada understood these points very well. He talked a lot about how things may go on due to second nature. You may have bad habits. That is because you have this second nature. We have this lower nature in which we've been immersed for a very long time. We're in the process of changing our habits, cultivating new habits, becoming fixed in new habits. It takes time, it takes practice, it takes perseverance, it takes patience. But these things begin to come. These things begin to come. And it's not... There's an interesting phenomenon that then takes place. Because as these things begin to come, there's a certain change in consciousness by which actually you are no longer aware of your consciousness. Other people observe, oh, so-and-so is becoming very humble and meek. But what's happening inside you as you assume that, as that becomes manifest in your behavior, is that you are thinking, oh, I am so fallen. One becomes aware of the reality of one's situation, and with genuine humility and genuine meekness recognizes, oh, I am so fallen. What I've done, where I've fallen from, and where I could fall to. Because surely there's no rock bottom in the material world. Sometimes you hear that. A devotee may go away and get into some nonsense activities, and other devotees will say, oh, knowingly, oh, when he hits rock bottom, he'll be back. There's no rock bottom. Prabhupada makes that very clear. Just as there is no end to the bliss that you can experience engaging in devotional service, there is no end to the ways in which Maya can kick you. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhupada.